This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So those of you who follow the Karen Reed trial probably know that the opening statements begin today in the retrial. Hung jury in the first one. She's, I believe, accused of second-degree murder of her, I guess, boyfriend, John O'Keefe. This is now more than three years ago, and there's a lot of controversy. It's created a ton of headlines about behavior of Boston police officers, what really happened, nobody knows, and a lot of stuff going on, and it's huge buzz in Boston. It's made national news. I haven't talked about it a ton, but Michael Coyne, our good friend from the Massachusetts School of Law, joining us now. You even have your own show now, Michael.
Yeah, well, it's on Peacock come Sunday, so they're really getting a lot of air out of it, and people are very, very interested. It's a surprising one because when you think about some of the other high-profile trials like OJ and even President Trump's trial in New York, this one has as much interest to people in the general public as any of them.
Now, what is it? It's because of the drinking, the sex, the cops. Like, what about it do you think is in? And people are taking sides, obviously, in this one too.
Yep, I think part of it is people think that this type of thing could happen to them, whether it's drinking and driving and getting into an accident that has touched many, many people at this point. Or the alternative that somehow there are forces against them that if they ended up in trouble, they would be in significant trouble because law enforcement is more interested in getting a conviction than justice. So it appeals to those that have that conspiratory bent to begin with, but also the fear of what could happen to you under circumstances that you might face someday.
Yeah, you know, it's so basically he died, he froze to death and had some blunt force trauma to the head, correct?
Yes. The prosecution argues that she was sideswiped or hit by her vehicle as they were going to the after party, and then she left him there to die in the snow. Her argument is that, no, that's not the way it went. He met unfriendly forces inside that house, and that's how ultimately he ended up dead on the front lawn.
Okay, and so the first trial ended in a hung jury, and does that mean an automatic retrial or the prosecution? Like, does that automatically kick in?
Well, like everything else in this case, it actually turned into a huge production because the jury says that even though they didn't report it to the court at the time, that they found her not guilty on counts 1 and 3, the second degree murder and leaving the scene having caused injury, but weren't able to reach a verdict on the DUI manslaughter, the driving under the influence manslaughter. But that raised all sorts of issues with respect to double jeopardy that were both in then state court and federal court. And the prosecution virtually immediately said that they intended to retry her. They believe that no one else is responsible for the death of John O'Keefe other than the charged defendant, and they intend to try her again starting today. The opening statements are this morning.
What's the impact? There's new lawyers on both sides, right?
No, there's some new lawyers. There's definitely a new lawyer for the prosecution, Hank Brennan, highly experienced both as a prosecutor and a defense lawyer. He was one of Whitey Bulger's defense lawyers in federal court, but he's represented many, many people. He's a very, very good lawyer. I think the jury will like him and appeal to him. He's sort of got an everyman style. And for the defendant, the person doing the opening statement is Alan Jackson, who also continues to represent her throughout. But they have added yet another new lawyer to the case who's, curiously enough, a former juror from the first trial. So it's a very, again, odd set of circumstances. The case raises all of these odd circumstances.
Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law, joining us here on Brian and Company. Now, she's out, right? Is she on her own? Okay, she's not in custody.
She's been on bail since the time of the initial arraignment on the earlier charges. So, yes, she is. But the thing is, if she's convicted on the top count, which I don't believe she is, she faces a life in prison sentence. She also faces a real risk on the DUI manslaughter, and that will require a mandatory minimum sentence in jail if she's convicted on that. But that's her risk.
She hasn't acknowledged hitting him.
No. Right. In fact, just the opposite. That early on, the morning of it, in the early part of the case, she did think she might have hit him. She even publicly said to the EMTs and the like, "I hit him, I hit him. Did I hit him?" Words to that effect to a number of people. And in one of the interviews, she suggested that she thought she might have hit something that night. And her dad says that she told him, well, she hit something, but she wasn't sure. She didn't think it was John. So there are a bunch of conflicting statements out there which are problematic, but she's never going to take the stand under any circumstances anyway.
And the prosecution can't compel her to take the stand?
No, Fifth Amendment doesn't allow them to be able to do that, but they do intend, they have said that they intend to offer some of her out-of-court statements to Dateline and 2020 and the various media outlets around Boston.
We're talking with Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law. Is public I am not on top of this case.
Yep.
Is public sentiment?
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still on her side?
No, it's I think it's really split almost down the middle. You've got 30 saying she's guilty, 30% saying she's not guilty and framed, and 40% saying I really don't have a clue as to what took place, and may never. And in fact, we had one of the jurors from the first trial on the show last night, and he was telling me that he thinks that there's no reason he would think that this jury won't end up in the very same place that they did, which would mean on the main count, the DUI manslaughter, again, they are so split that they can't reach a verdict. And that's sort of my expectation as well here. I think it's a very difficult case for the prosecution to get a guilty verdict on any of the counts, the second count being the most likely. But also, the defense has a tough time trying to sell their argument that there is a cover-up involving 12 people in the house that night that contributed to his death.
So your instinct is she won't be found guilty for second-degree murder, but the DUI stuff, she's potentially...
She faces a risk.
Yeah.
But second-degree murder, I think, is a way overcharge. Never should have been charged. It's not a second-degree murder case. You don't have the intent to do bodily injury like you would need.
So if they did involuntary manslaughter, that you think could have been something she could have been found guilty of?
Yes, and that's pretty close to what DUI manslaughter is. You don't have to intend to kill him. You have to be driving under the influence and then causing someone's death as a result of it. So it doesn't require the intent to kill. What it requires is that you were you had consumed too much alcohol so that your ability to drive was impaired, and someone's death occurred as a result of it. It's the most likely one, if there's going to be a conviction at all, that she's convicted of.
So the show's on every day?
Every night, 7 o'clock, and then it's going to be streaming on Peacock come Sunday.
So, you're like a star now. I can't believe you deigned to come on this show.
I love your show. I love talking to you. I made sure that I could continue to do that because I love radio. So, no, it's a lot of fun, and it keeps me busy, obviously, with my day job as the dean and as a lawyer. It's hectic, but I enjoy it. We like to be busy.
Yeah, and you've been going on the air for a long time now, all the way back to New England Cable News and so on and so forth. So it's you. I think it's J.C. Monahan. Who's on the show? And is there another attorney?
Glenn Jones and J.C. Monahan are the hosts. Sue O'Connell is the courtroom observer. She goes in and gives the lay person's opinion as to what's going on, like a juror. And then we have other attorneys come in from time to time. One of my graduates, actually, Jetta Derisier, also appears a couple nights a week. So she's a criminal defense lawyer, so she brings a different perspective. She's a terrific lawyer as well.
And you can see it on Peacock starting when?
Starting Sunday.
Awesome. Awesome. Michael, best of luck throughout the trial. We'll talk to you soon.
See you. Bye.
All right. Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law.